the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness. In the practice of pure attention. In the practice of ever expanding faith. In the practice of constant devotion. In the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day. O happy blessed place. O happy blessed time. O happy blessed path. O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
we are irritated and suffering.
If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering.
If ending suffering is not more important than anything,
we will not end suffering.
If I am suffering,
it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering.
We are not here to create and cling to beliefs.
We are here to pay attention.
We are here to use everything in our experience
to see how we cause ourselves to suffer,
so we can drop that and end suffering.
So what shall we look at this morning? David?
Well, I've been looking at quite a bit recently, and I guess the way I would phrase it would be kind of two things. One would be kind of transition, and how much transition kind of kicks up in terms of conditioning from my experience. Mm-hmm. And then the other piece of that would be, kind of with everything that I've been looking at, is the possibility of losing interest.
So you've been looking at transition, and all that conditioning is kicked up through transition, mm-hmm. and then the possibility of losing interest.
Yeah. It's so what I mean by that is just exploring. You know, for a long time, I've always held this sense of, you know, I'll have an insight, or I'll see something in practice, you know, it'll be, or I'll have, like, you know, the karma will arise, and I'll run into it. And then there's this immediate default to, okay, I see it, and now there's an I who's going to overcome it, mm-hmm. or work with it, mm-hmm. or do something about it, yeah. with the promise that then, you know, it'll be dissolved, or it'll be gone, or, you know, whatever the promise is. But there's this place where there's like an active engagement with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. You know what I mean? So the losing interest is in the context of a normal pattern of, you know, working with something, some piece of content, mm-hmm. in this way. That it arises, you bump into it, and boom, there's an engagement. Mm-hmm. And then you work with it or you do whatever.
Yeah.
But it sounds like that what you're looking at is the possibility of losing interest in it. Is that it?
Yeah, that's absolutely it. It's the idea that, you know, so it's all there. So I've kind of seen, and since the time I've been here on the property, I've seen all these, like, just classic karmic things for mm-hmm. me, you know, like wanting all the benefits, not wanting to be a contribution.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a litany of them.
Yeah.
They're kind of all like the need to know, you know, having to get it.
Uh-huh.
The whole struggle with where's the line between my time versus how much time I'm supposed to be giving.
Yeah.
So there's all these like big, big karmic things that have kind of come to the forefront. And so the idea of kind of a losing interest
uh-huh.
is that I've just been exploring that place where and I think this was part of the guidance on Thursday night that I received or whatever, but in a different form. But it's just that kind of what are the possibilities of not engaging with any of those as processes?
Yes. Yes. So what is the payoff for conditioning when you engage in that, and what's the possibility for David in not engaging?
Yeah, that's really neat to hear you phrase it like that, because there is a major payoff for conditioning. You know, there's a payoff to remain in engagement with. So it kind of it's that place of pseudo Zen in a way, because it reminds me of the idea is that, well, you know, okay, now I see it. So now there's something to do with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it completely covers over the fact that the seeing, it stops there. I mean, that was it, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like the identity takes over the process. Mm-hmm. So there's this insight, this seeing, and then whoosh, the identity comes in, who's going to do something about it, who's going to work on it, the pseudo-Zen place, right?
Yeah.
And as that process happens, the identity is reinforced.
Yeah. Well, that feels like the payoff in a way.
Yeah.
The payoff is that the identity is reinforced, that kind of the I gets to remain separate. It stays intact.
Yep.
You know, because the biggest piece of it is, what happens if I doesn't exist?
Yeah.
I mean, that's been keeping me up a lot of nights recently. just kind of living in that terror.
Keeping ego in terror.
Yeah, we could say, because it's the thing that's constant fear. You know, it's constantly threatened.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I'm not in that place of awareness, I constantly feel threatened.
Yeah.
But of course, you're right. It's the terror that that I lives in.
Yeah.
would be a good way to phrase it. Consistently. It's like that, I don't know, it feels like there's this place in practice that's arising for me where the behavioral change would be losing interest. And it feels like the place is that, like, there's just this door that's opening, this gate that's opening.
Yeah.
That, what would it be like if the I didn't exist? Like, if a... It's hard to put into words.
Well, rather than ask that question, what would be the behavior change that would help you experience that? So losing interest is what you're sort of looking at. What would be the behavior change that would manifest a loss, that process of losing interest?
Well, I mean, I was associating the behavioral change as the losing interest, but when you phrase it like that, you know, it would simply be the idea of directing the attention.
Yeah.
You know, directing the attention to kind of, you know, the void or to nothingness or to, you know, whatever is here in this moment.
You
know, that is like maybe a way to kind of access the complete. I had such a direct experience of it this morning in my hermitage. Where it was kind of like, oh, like being totally in that and then just kind of popping out of it. Yeah, and then just being in this place where, you know, there's just nothingness. It's just complete void. There's no conversation. There's no nothing. And so in that space, there was just this place of like, this is what it's like when you just completely lose interest in the processes.
All that's here is being here in my hermitage.
Yeah.
That's all that's here.
That's all that's there.
No conversation, no work about working on karma. We got to put that in quotes. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's that whole place, you know, the opposite of that, the other side of that is kind of the more traditional come from that I experience, which is the attempt to overcome it, the attempt to figure it out, to some way navigate or negotiate my way through it. And of course, the whole thing is maintaining it.
Yes, because you have to be a someone who's navigating it and negotiating your way through it.
Yes, that's like
there is a deed, there is a doer.
That's right. That's a great one. Yeah. So, and that's about it. I mean, that was just kind of the place that I've been exploring and had a really great, you know, experience of that this morning that I just wanted to kind of flush out a little bit.
Well, and just to underline the behavior change that I heard you say was directing the attention. So here up comes that habitual urge to navigate and negotiate, you know, to work on something, right? That comes up, and you're going to practice directing the attention to the void or nothingness or whatever is just right here, even if it's just standing in your hermitage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, even that, hearing that, even that is a place where it can get really slippery in a way. Because
there could be someone who's attending
is.
To the void. Yeah,
there it is. You know, it's like, you know, it's there has to, you know, as mentioned, it was mentioned, I think, a couple weeks ago in a group, there wants to be like a volition to it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the volition wants to come from a place of just awareness, not from an I who is in that role.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's just a place to be open to seeing what's, you know, letting life kind of, you know.
Yeah, show. Kind of one step at a time.
Yeah,
so exactly. Right now I'm going to practice redirecting the attention when that arises.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's something to be done around that, then that'll be shown.
Life will kind of
do
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Super.
Thank you. Yeah, Sequoia.
That's great. I have been, let's see how to say this. Dropping the conversation has been the focus of my attention lately.
Yeah.
And I just saw that one thing that happens, a behavior change that could, that I'd like to institute, is I realized that every time the awareness comes that I'm in a conversation, it's just so habitual to go to, oh no, I did it again.
Oh no, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Instead of that gratitude.
Yeah.
For seeing that, oh, that's a conversation, there's another choice.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes along with another practice I've been instituting with as a way to change a karmic filter I have,
mm-hmm.
and that is to look for the love
mm-hmm.
that's present
mm-hmm.
instead of the not love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to see that, wow, it's love that brings me to that awareness that, oh my gosh, you know, thank you, I'm in a conversation.
Yeah.
There's another possibility.
Yeah.
And what an amazing opportunity to even know that.
Yes, yes. And it really is the exact same thing, those two examples. So one is I've been caught in a story, and there's that moment, that instant when you see it, and there's sort of like a, you can go one or two ways. You're going to go, oh, no, I was in a story again. Or, wow, I saw it.
Yeah.
I'm out of it.
Yeah.
And the same way with the love.
Yeah.
You can either focus on the not love or the love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there, it really is that, it strikes me as like that split second moment of which wolf am I going to feed?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. It's mm-hmm. that, it's that choice point of I guess kind of being a victim to the whole thing
mm-hmm.
and being the explorer and the, you know, excited, like, you know,
who you are.
Here I am, and caught it again.
Yeah.
And that is just, for me, that's behavior change worth.
Yeah, worth pursuing with gusto, right?
Yeah. Yeah. With gusto.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so that's really good to see, and I saw, I just saw this morning too, it feels like such with a more clarity, the filter through which I receive information like that, you know, be it through guidance or anything, that,
mm-hmm.
That filter of I'm doing it wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just seems like the default position,
mm-hmm.
if anything's like, any clarity arises or anything is pointed out, it's like, oh,
mm-hmm.
darn, you know, I'll get it right someday.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. I don't know what this, you know, this has anything to do with anything, but as I saw that, I also just experienced this incredible lump in my throat
mm-hmm.
and tightness in my jaw simultaneously as I saw that, you know, that kind of was going on with mm-hmm. everything.
So that, let me see if I'm with you, that default filter of something's wrong.
Yeah.
That there really is something wrong. That whatever. Mm-hmm. And seeing that, recognizing it, you know, it doesn't sound like it's the first time you've seen that's right. The filter, right?
Yeah.
And recognizing it, and that awareness or seeing it, there was with it a lump and a real tightness, a real constriction.
I could just feel somehow how that, I don't know, it was just something I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
That seems a lot to be settled in my jaw and throat. Mm-hmm. You know?
And is that filter, would you say that filter, I don't know exactly how to ask this, but would, you know, in the circle of acceptance, is that in or out, would you say?
Uh-huh, good question. Yeah, there's probably a little out.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a little outside, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like there would be, I would choose, I would choose a different experience.
Like there's something wrong with having something wrong filter.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning, I noticed all that. What I went to was picking up the recorder and recording what I know to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And that was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to just know what's really, 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 really true is that it's just life expressing through this being, and that life is just an incredible deep love.
Yeah.
And that's all that it wants to express.
There's the behavior changes in it. Just expressing what's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And listening to it, and you know, recording it and listening. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But really, really, really is true.
Yeah.
And you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just love expressed through this being.
Right. Yeah. And there's no kind of lump in the throat or tight jaw with knowing that, you know.
Yeah.
That's just what's so, and it feels so, and it feels just right.
Yeah.
To be in that. And it's I guess it's like what was just spoken to earlier. It is losing interest in all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it does seem like you stumbled on a really good behavior change though then. Because because that saying what is so, it is both the vehicle of, you know, losing interest and of placing you squarely in the place of that love, which you are.
Exactly, because that's true. Just in the recording of that, and just the saying that out loud, there absolutely was no interest in all that stuff that had, you know, arisen, you know.
Yeah, it can only seem interesting from an identified place.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Not so.
Yeah.
It's, I think I've heard Sherry say that's the devil, and we don't have to give it any attention or pay, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know.
We don't own anything.
Own it anything, especially any attention. So that's my progress in dropping the conversation, and I'm committed to reporting in regularly about it.
Yeah, well, it's really great to hear, and it's a great technique to adopt all of us. Thank you. Alex?
Let's see. I think, bad start.
Rephrase this way.
I don't think. Let's see. I recently feel like I've had a really the most powerful lesson ever by being here, since I've been here, and having a very incredible experience of almost two things juxtaposed in front of me, something that has been pointed to over and over again, and either not seeing it, being convinced that it's otherwise, out over here, and then over here, seeing it, like really, like getting it out in 3D,
mm-hmm.
And the phrase keeps coming up for me is, cannot transcend what you don't encounter.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've encountered it. And a very, I would say, it feels profound in a way, because it's almost like everything that I've ever been shown or taught here through whatever it is that we do has suddenly come up. I'm trying to see if I can express all that's going on, because it feels like a lot. I've been recording a lot about it too.
Yeah. Well, let me reflect some of that. So it feels like there's just been this huge opening, this huge awareness, maybe one of your biggest learnings ever in being here, and that is that what's been pointed out to you many, many times, you feel like you've really encountered and experienced. Yes. And so in that experience of it, mm-hmm. you have seen what has been being pointed to and really transcended it.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm. cannot transcend what you don't encounter. Maybe the transcending is yet to be there, mm-hmm. but I think I've been in the encounter part, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. Transcending it will be a very interesting, well, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
If it happens, maybe someone will tell me. gosh, there's just so many ways to go with it. I've been posting the older cartoons that I've been doing,
uh-huh.
and it almost feels like a lot of them have been mirroring what's going on with me right now, particularly mm-hmm. the ones that have been recent. I don't know if it's the one where Lou is finally, you know, seeing how voices are working
mm-hmm.
and what they're up to through the image of himself as a little baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this little reminder comes up of him as a little baby, and on it says, every time you listen to the voices, you turn this little baby over mm-hmm. to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like I got a tangible feeling of what that's like.
What that's like.
Yes. And it's been just really clear, like this morning, I also post pictures up to the, I take pictures for the monastery wall, and mm-hmm. I've been doing that. And so I just had my camera around with me everywhere, and I took a picture of Pache this morning, you know, at my feet, and he's just looking up with me, you know, mm-hmm. at me, like, I looked at that, and that's the picture mm-hmm. that's going to remind me of not turning over
mm-hmm.
My life to the voices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That projection of the mm-hmm. beautiful innocence, precious vulnerability of Pache, mm-hmm. that's what you don't want to turn over to the voices.
Yes. Because if I do, there are consequences.
Yeah, yeah. There are real consequences for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it. And yes. it is really a tangible experience of what you clearly knew.
I clearly knew, because yeah. someone was close to enlightenment when they drew that cartoon
yeah.
years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
or no, you should say.
Or no, yeah. Room. Yes. And the one that's coming out tomorrow is probably one of my favorite. I didn't know it was my favorite at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite now. It talks about how practice works.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like described as, you know, anything that you notice, so there you go, you get your zafu or your tennis racket, you don't know what you're doing, you get instruction on how to do it, and then you do, and you get a coach or a mentor to help you along with it. And of course the voices are going to give all sorts of opinions about things, but what the cartoon basically goes into is, give your attention to the coach, give your attention to the voices. Which one, you know, doesn't make you good or bad, it just doesn't help, it either helps or doesn't help your game.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if what you've identified as your game is making sure that that little vulnerable baby is safe,
exactly right.
Then you're not, you don't want to turn your attention anywhere but supporting that game.
That's how, that's exactly what I saw. That's how it all goes together. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and I don't know if there's more than that. I think that covers it. There's, like I said, there's just so much. There's, you know, like the image from the Bible about Jesus, you know, turning over Jesus for, you know, how many other pieces of silver. It's like, you don't want to, you don't want to trade your heart for not your heart.
Yeah. Some piddly,
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the antidote to all of that is what we learned in the model recently about the train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
God, there's so many images here. I don't think anybody can understand. Give it a shot.
Yeah. Anyway,
but that compassion inserted at any point resolves everything.
Yeah.
There is no need to understand anything. There's no need to feel bad about anything. There's compassion at any point is what dissolves all of it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Because ultimately in that moment everybody is fine.
Everybody's
healed.
Healed. Yeah,
everybody's
exactly
taken
the language
care.
That was used. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody and everything is healed.
Yes.
Yeah. In that moment, that is really such good news, isn't it? That it is. That's all it takes.
Yes.
There's no long plan. There's no, you know, it's just right then.
Exactly right then.
Instant.
Yes. Yeah. There's no, I need to think about this or that. Or I need to work on. It's just, that's it.
Yeah. And those tangible reminders are just so powerful to bring us to, as you say, what we already know, but we are living in this physical being in this physical world, and we need those physical reminders to take us there.
Yes, this physical being in this physical world with all these physical reminders that really help bring it all right back. That's my goal. I'm practicing with that and using that as an opportunity to learn more, even more, just be open to seeing even more about what's happening, what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And getting really clear about where I want to live and what choices I'm making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in moment to moment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jeffrey.
I had an experience of compassion this morning and noticed a lot of things about transitions and sort of how, which I'd never seen before, transitions in a way are metaphoric for the ultimate transition. A way it's dying, and how there is supposed to be fear around that. But what I saw this morning is in that compassion, whatever mini version of that, whatever mini transition is happening, there doesn't need to be any fear or urgency in that. And there doesn't need to be fear or urgency in that ultimate transition.
Yeah, that's really, yeah. So you saw this parallel, or a kind of a metaphor around transitions just from one thing to another in this life to the ultimate transition. And just like there need be no fear here, there need be no fear there either. Being the transition from this life to whatever life after.
To whatever happens, and that's exactly the point. I don't know what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's conditioned mind, and it's the identity that knows something about transitions.
Yeah.
And how it's going to go, and what it means, and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I found myself feeling urgent this morning, and then realizing in that moment of compassion that it's difficult to be urgent in such a beautiful place on a beautiful day.
Yeah.
You really see the contrast.
You have to work really hard.
Yes.
To identify with
that. Yeah. The ego has to work really hard to do that. And being able to transition out of that urgency helped there be a very, very, a change in the focus toward gratitude. For transitions.
Yeah.
And how they are a reminder.
Yes.
That life is important.
Yeah.
That ultimate transition is coming at some point.
Yeah.
And so it's just for me, it was a moment of, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It really puts things in perspective.
Yeah, just transitioning out of that. We're really kind of transitioning in a way every time we're disidentifying. It's a practice of transitions, yeah. You know, almost moment by moment, where we can see, watch that movement happen. And, you know, and I've heard Sherry say often that that's one of the biggest transitions, is one of the biggest times to get identified, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as you were practicing this morning, going out of that urgency into compassion and watching that happen, it's just such an opening for gratitude. And that's where you chose to stay or live or practice.
That's where I want to
practice,
be, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw something really cool when we were sitting and we turn around, this on Sunday mornings, we turn around and we pump the cushion and I realized I might not make it to turn around and sit back down.
Uh-huh.
That's how immediate things are.
Yeah.
So better prepare my space to turn and bow, and then who knows what may happen after that.
Yes. You know? It really is. It's a way of encountering life where every moment truly might be our last here. And so we want to act in such a way and plump our cushion in such a way and turn in such a way that we are fully present to it all. Because we just don't know.
Yes, and there's no need for self-hate in any of that.
Yeah. Or even, not only is there no need, but when there's no room, there's no place for it anyway, is there?
Yeah, with a perspective on what's important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Penny.
I was looking at the dropping interest, losing interest. And a couple of things I've seen. I've been practicing the not feeling bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoying it very much.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of things I've seen. One is that the wonderful experience of I don't know, because I'm really getting that I don't know is outside conditioning. I mean, it really is a place to go to where conditioning does not live.
Yeah, it's kind of base. Well, you know, when you play tag and you're on base, I don't know is outside of the kind of the reach of conditioning.
Yeah. And as people have talked about this morning, that sometimes, I mean, the conditioned pattern when I don't know arises is, well, then how do I find out?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do about that? How do I come to know? And to just say, I don't know.
Yeah.
It ends the conversation. It opens up the space. And it is, conditioning can't do anything with I don't know.
Yeah. It, as long as we stay there and don't re-engage or re-engage with with its tricks of getting us out of I don't know, then it really has no...
It has no ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I was seeing that just arose that I was listening about losing interest is that something that has been happening more lately, and it's basically the same thing, which is, so I get caught in conditioning, I'm identified, I catch that I'm identified, I drop it. Shortly after I catch that I'm identified again. Shortly after I catch that I'm identified again. That's where conditioning would want me to do something about conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what I'm seeing is part of the process for me, the process of losing conditioning is the process of just saying, oh,
uh-huh.
I'm identified again.
Uh-huh.
And having nothing going about that.
Yeah, and just not caring.
Not caring.
Yeah.
And what I can see is, you know, the conditioned response would be, you've got to stop being interested.
Uh-huh.
From this day forward and evermore, you've got to stop being interested.
Uh-huh.
And I'm getting that losing interest is an ongoing verb.
Yeah.
Losing interest is losing interest over time.
Yeah.
And just how helpful that is, that it's a practice like everything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process like everything else, and there is no timeline, and so no need to get it done by.
Yeah, there's no due date.
I don't know when.
Yes, exactly.
I will lose interest entirely.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if when I lose interest entirely it will drop away. All I know is at any given moment, oh, here I am again, And there's nothing to be done about that except to notice.
Yeah, yeah. Because what's coming up for me is that it strikes me that that being a process of losing interest over time and no end point, it is, you know, the moment you stand to plump your cushion for the last time and draw your last breath, that could be what you're practicing. Mm-hmm. And there's no better, you know, no better place to be. There's just no better place to be than practicing.
Whatever
it is that's up.
Yeah, whatever's up. So that's just been very helpful, and I hadn't really seen it until I was just until this conversation. And the other thing that happens is that if I just am losing interest, I don't have to feel bad about the fact that here it is again.
Yeah.
I mean, here it is again just means here it is again.
Yeah.
That's all it means.
It changes the perspective from a content to a process. If you take losing like that, mm-hmm. like it's a gerund, I guess, for a reason that it's in the process of, right? Mm-hmm. So it is not a confined set thing. It's not a content, or it's not a it's not a to do.
Right. Yeah. Right. And there was something that just came up, but I just give me a second. Mm-hmm. It will come again or not. And, well, I didn't, so thank you.
June.
This space and this sangha in this room are the physical reminders for me. Mm-hmm. I've spent the last couple of days in the place that was just described, identified. Seeing it identified again, mm-hmm. seeing it. And I've also been caught up in the story of being the really wrong person. Mm-hmm. There really is something wrong. And it's a wonderful reminder to lose interest.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So you've been caught up in that story of there is something wrong.
Yeah.
And coming here in this physical reminder, manifestation of that, is just a really good reminder to lose interest in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A huge part of it. Of the suffering is making meaning, mm-hmm. And not being aware that that's happening. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thinking that a weeding garden is so important. Mm-hmm. Just being in the garden has been lost sight of.
Yeah.
And as was just described, moment by moment by moment.
You know, the good news about in that story about the weeding of the garden, to me the good news is she got tired. You know, in the story there's the place where she was just exhausted, and that was when she really finally let go of all the weeds. Think, unless I'm making that up in the story, but even if it's not there, it should be there. And so you know, that kind of points back to it being just a process of when we are tired enough, or when we're just ready, we could say, we let go of the weeds. We let go of the, oh darn, I'm identified again, or what, you know, all of the efforting. And I don't know about you, but to me, that's good news, because it's like I can do it until I'm ready to not do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The story in my head is that for the last couple of days I've been completely identified, that's, which is true.
Yeah.
it's a slow motion train wreck.
From one perspective, right?
Yes, yeah.
Because if it is a slow motion train wreck, there is an awareness that both watching it happen and the awareness that somebody's calling it a train wreck. Yeah, because just like that story would tell you, you were totally identified, but yet you step back and you see that's not really true. Then there is you are in that larger perspective.
Yes.
And so there's that choice point we've been talking about. That okay, here it's coming. I know it's happening. It's about to be in a really bad place, but you're not. You're seeing it all from another perspective. It could look really different.
Yeah.
Is that so?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there's this on a parallel track, the absolute understanding, or whatever the word is, that this too shall pass.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a suspicion that the whole I just spent 10 days on Maui playing golf.
You've spent 10 days what?
On Maui.
That's what I thought you said. playing golf on Maui. Yeah.
You think this could be that way?
Yeah.
It
really has. I think, but backlash might be what we're seeing here. Yeah, because the... Can we presume a big, great big opening on the beach in Maui, playing golf? And then here he is. Here you are, being told you're completely identified.
And just one more thing, that a fantastic tool is projection, mm-hmm. seven projections. Mm-hmm. That's just every. I saw a cat, a baby cat. I saw some other small animal. And every time it would just make me so sad. Oops.
So what would you do with that when you saw that it was a projection? Where would you go?
Well, I actually wouldn't take it much anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just notice that someone is here who is really depressed and really believing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so you would see that, you would feel the sadness and say, oh my gosh, the arc of their life is so depressing and sad. Take that in and recognize that, there's somebody here that's really depressed. Mm-hmm. And see it.
So, taking refuge in the Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
Not great at that.
Yeah, coming back to this place that is the touchstone for you, taking refuge here to remind, it's sort of like the equivalent of the recording of what is so. Here, this is what is so, what is true. Thank you. Justin.
Very interesting conversation. What is coming up for me is a couple of things Sherry has said recently. I'm responding particularly to the part about the final transition.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, when it was a number of weeks ago, it was just this little thing she said that really shifted things for me around death. That life doesn't die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, that's true. I hadn't really ever thought about that before. Mm-hmm. I mean, the body dies. But life doesn't die. Life is, it's not like it's a separate thing. This is how I interpret it anyway. I don't know actually what she meant, but it's like the life that inhabits this form is not a separate thing that dies.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the form is set aside.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if you could say that this life takes another form, because it doesn't really feel like it's any different from, you know, the life that inhabits everything else. It's,
yeah.
It feels like it's all one thing.
Yeah, yeah, but it's an interesting way of looking at it, that life doesn't die. And so when that moment happens for each of these entities that we are, it's more like the form is just set aside.
Mm-hmm.
And that what is animating the form just, I don't know, does something else.
Mm-hmm. It just continues on. You know,
it feels
like it's, because it's not, you know, like what's in here is not different from what's in the trees and
yeah.
everything else. And so there's not a loss.
Yeah, there's no loss.
Yeah, it's not, now there's less life because of the death. There's not less life than there was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a form that is, the time is done for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just took great comfort in that. Took great comfort in that, because, you know, it's from that perspective, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of. You know, it's the separate self that is clinging to existence.
Yeah.
It's not the life that is animating the form, because
yeah.
there's no, that doesn't go anywhere and that doesn't change. And, you know, just bring me that, took great comfort in that. That, you know, it's what I actually am, you know, in a way you could say what I actually am doesn't die. And
yeah.
so there's really nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah, that's what was striking me, is that place of great comfort can only, it seems like, be there from a very disidentified place, identified from that clinging ego, that
mm-hmm.
that illusion of a separate self that wants to attach itself to this life that is not it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing she said, I can't remember, it might even have been Thursday night, I've lost what we talked about on Thursday night, but it was, at some point recently she said, or what I heard anyway was, or anyway, the idea that's there is that, so there's something that goes on, you know, there's some karma that goes on, and that the fact that I and we are here with this opportunity that we have to wake up and end suffering is the result of some, we might probably, heroic and generous lives that people have spent in the past.
Yeah.
And that whatever we do here is a gift to those who come next
after
this, because there's a, you know, with hopefully a increased possibility for waking up and suffering.
Yeah.
And I really had never, I mean, the idea of that had kind of been around, but I'd never really gotten that before, and I never really sort of, I felt like I was sort of in a little way received the gift that I've been given more deeply from that, and then also saw it kind of makes sense of what my life is about in
yeah.
the choices that I've made. A lot of times it doesn't. It's like, all right, so I'm going to do all this work, and then I'm, you know, I'm going to clean all this stuff up, and then, you know, kaput, there's the...
Yeah.
What's the point of that? It would be better just to kind of skate.
Yeah, I know.
But the thing that and this might be total delusion and fabrications and stuff, but I don't know, it kind of makes sense to me that, you know, so if this work is being done for the benefit, not just of me now and the, you know, the beings I interact with, but also the future of
yeah.
life, then that kind of, like, oh, okay, I'll do that. That's something I want to do.
Yeah, it situates this particular manifestation of life in this particular form in a whole larger continuum, perhaps, of where both the recipients of other manifestations, hard work, we could say, cleaning up whatever karma, whatever heroic lives they led, we received, so that we have the shot now.
Mm-hmm.
We're here. This is our opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so what, and those that the manifestations of life that will come after us will in some way be impacted by how we are.
In,
and how we do with our shot, for lack of a better way to phrase it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in seeing it in that larger way, it broadens your perspective on what good is all this work that you're doing.
Yeah, and what's important.
Yeah.
And the value in choices that are made. I was just sitting here during the sit, and it dropped in that, you know, really, I mean, the time is now.
Yeah.
I'm not old by any standards, but I'm older than I ever have been. And you know, it's not going to go the other way. You know, yeah. It's almost going to keep doing that. And yeah. And it's amazing how quickly what has passed has gone by.
Yeah.
Even though as I'm going through it, it's just like, boy, this is taking forever. But then, you know, suddenly it's like, whoa, boy, there's a, you know, I've been at the monster a really long time now, mm-hmm. compared to mm-hmm. what I thought was going to be here for. And also just in comparison to the light, I'll do some math later and see what the percentage is, but you know, the percentage of my life that has been spent mm-hmm. in practice is growing steadily. And I just mm-hmm. suddenly got in and said, I can't waste it.
Yeah.
I can't waste any of it. It's all really precious because it's going by and the opportunity is here right now.
Yeah. And there's something in that aware, that moment of this is the time is now. Mm-hmm. It's not urgency. I don't hear mm-hmm. it all. It's urgency, but it is a realization of that, of the reality of time passing.
Mm-hmm. Something else, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah. Well, it seems like it could be. I don't know. The image that's coming up to me is sort of like a turbocharge. You know, it's like you get a little burst of something mm-hmm. that with that time is passing. This is now. You know.
Yeah, a focus for sure.
Yeah,
and it's interesting because you're right. It's not urgent. It's very relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of ties together with the losing interest thing too. Because mm-hmm. I haven't had an experience big time.
Mm-hmm.
Losing interest in things that seem urgent and important for my whole life, and I mean, they may go in and out of it, they still do often, but it feels like that's what that kind of perspective gives. It's really. you know, we're here in suffering. If we're not focusing on any suffering, you know, that's the whole point is to.
Yeah.
And everything else kind of starts to seem insignificant.
Yeah.
Next to that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. It's a kind of just a sweeping out of all of the superfluous stuff that can sometimes encroach in mm-hmm. on the clarity of what we're really here to do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, and it's encroaching all the time. You know, wanting is trying to encroach mm-hmm. all the time, and just mm-hmm. to see it. Why? You know, these things that I have these ideas that I want these things, and there's nothing really in that that leads towards what I truly care about.
Yeah.
And then it feels more like a letting go, not pushing away, of course, but I'm grateful for, you know, the awareness that allows it to start to drop away. And mm-hmm. it's like it's much simpler.
Yeah.
And much easier and much more relaxed.
Yeah.
And at the same time, much more focused, which is really interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's a kind of interesting juxtaposition mm-hmm. of being very focused and being really relaxed and watching the other, just watching that losing interest happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Nikki.
Well, this whole morning for me has been fascinating, and this conversation, and what I was just seeing about losing interest and things meaning things in my own particular current version of them is that So what seems to, well, and I think we talked about this all the time we've ever talked about practice, but anyway, it's just getting sort of clear to me. So there'll be an actual sensation or experience that is, in a sense, real. I mean, it's happening. It's mm-hmm. something anyone could report on or observe. It's, you know, it's experiential, you know. Mm-hmm. And, but then, so I think that's the point at which I need to lose interest because what happens immediately in the conditioned system is, without consciously knowing that that's happening, it's like, well, then if that's so, then this could be so, and if that's so, then this would mean that, and if that's, you know, that sensation unleashes an entire lifetime of beliefs mm-hmm. that make the person, the being, feel bad, and the belief is that it's the sensation or the experience that's the cause of the feeling bad, Well, it has nothing to do with it. It's mm-hmm. just what's so.
Mm-hmm.
And so the process of losing interest is of being so uninterested in the experience from a point of view of what it means.
Yes, that seems to be the really key
yeah.
phrase.
Yeah.
From the point of view of what it means.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if I'm interested in it just from through life, like, well, that's something. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll see something from that through life. But if I'm interested in it because
yeah.
of this whole thing, that's nothing but trouble.
Yeah. And the interpretation is coming from conditioned
yes.
mind.
Yes.
And so it is the... that perspective
mm-hmm.
that is that we're losing interest
that's
in.
Right.
Because exactly. otherwise all you've got is the experience.
Right.
Which
right.
is really could like you say could be showing you things, mm-hmm. could be unfolding in all kinds of interesting ways.
Right. Could be interesting in a whole other way.
Yeah.
In a way in which it would be interesting to be interested.
Yeah, exactly. But you really don't want to lose interest in.
Right, which we don't want to lose interest in. But what we do want to lose interest in, the old familiar, here it is again, and you know, this is
yeah.
going to happen, and this means this, and I'm that kind of person. And you know, and when I fall for the conditioning, when I don't lose interest in that way, then I'm not really seeing that what I'm interested in is that whole ball
yes.
of wax. I still think I'm interested in the experience or the sensation, but I'm not.
Yeah, because we get fooled by the cheap imitation of interest,
yes.
which is the ego story around it.
Yes.
So there's this experience happening that could be really quite interesting, and on onto that is this kind of pseudo interest of what does this mean? Where does this go? What do these sensations mean? All this, our attention goes there. We've lost interest in what's actually happening,
right.
and this is what we want to lose interest in.
Right, right, right. Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah. Because this is real life.
Right, right. It's the only place. It's the only place that holds any real interest.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
There's probably a lot in that.
Yeah.
The only place that really holds any real interest.
Yeah. Or any life. I mean, the mm-hmm. other can't hold any real interest or life because it's not real.
Right, because it's an illusion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It can only be an energy suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
For our life.
Yeah. It can only be an energy suck. It can only be a feeling bad. It can only be a cord deconditioning it. That's all it can ever be. Can never be.
Yeah.
It can't even be something we can solve. It can't even be something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
Even though
it presents itself that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's an interesting thing to see about it is that it presents itself as something that can be solved.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Almost as something that must be solved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't, then
you're
toast.
Yeah. And so there is that whatever urgency or whatever that can be our flag. Okay, real life isn't that way. Even in the most life and death situations,
yes.
you know, that we've all had car wrecks or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, there's not that feeling of urgency, and but it's just
right.
immediate action. It's just
yes.
it's just being one with whatever is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing that somehow connected up for me this morning when in the sharing was that the process of losing interest in that and the process of compassion are really the same thing. I mean, it's, you know, bringing
yeah.
the compassion is the losing the interest. It's coming back to
yeah.
it's coming back to the heart. It's coming back to life. It's, you know, it's
yeah.
It's really the only viable response, really.
Yeah, it is coming back to compassion. And what strikes me about what you're saying is that it is, in being with the real, honest-to-life situation that's here, it is taking care of whatever that most vulnerable place
mm-hmm.
is that needs it.
Yeah.
So whatever is really here is what needs our care. and our compassion. And the losing interest is the way to show that compassion, right? That's to where we started, for what is actually going on in this moment. And all of those ways, all of those, you know, whether it's Sangha or Pache or all of those tangible callings from life to keep us here are they're just so freely offered.
And we can
just open our eyes and receive them. And
I had one of those Pache moments yesterday where we have this cat who's, he's this big guy who looks just like, you know, a big baddie, and he's, you know, the sweetest thing you've ever seen. And but he is kind of out of control sometimes. And, you know, yesterday he got all excited, and he like clawed at me and got me, and, you know, I was bleeding, and, you know, I lost it for a moment. I yelled, and then he, because he's such a sweetie, it was just like he was devastated. You know? I have to leave now. I have to go outside. You know, I thought, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that to anybody. I don't want to let conditioning give some sweet creature that experience.
It took you right back to, we might say, mercy and compassion. Yes. They're just so precious when those moments happen. Mm-hmm.